And it's good to have the opportunity to speak with you guys this morning. I'm, as you can see, we'll be on talking about what it means to be hooked again this morning. I talked a few weeks ago about the kingdom net and how as the Church of Christ, the Christians, we're kind of that net that gets cast out there. We'll continue to be looking at these similarities this morning. I'm going to read first, starting in Matthew. Chapter 13, I'll read verses 47 and 48. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down, and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That's the way it'll be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous." As we talk more about this and about how Christ used these parables about fishing and what it means, we're going to take a little bit closer look at Jesus's his interactions with his disciples. And we'll talk about who they were and how they responded to Jesus' call. As we go through this morning, there's a couple of questions that I'd like for us all to be thinking about. The first is, what can we learn from their response? When Jesus called these guys, and we look at how they responded to that, what can we learn today from that? And the second question that I'd like for us to be thinking about is, what can we learn about our faith when we look at the kind of people that Christ called? So one thing that I would like for us to take away from this message this morning is that Jesus chose ordinary people. You know, he's walking down the street and he joined regular guys to join him in helping to change the world. He wasn't looking for the people who were perfectly polished rabbis in the synagogues or whatever. He wasn't looking for these just magnetic people. He was looking for people who were willing to step up and do the work. I just want us all to realize that you don't have to be somebody who's some kind of big, fantastic, special person to join Christ in doing his work. We just have to be willing to follow him. So as we learned a few weeks ago when I talked about this before, as Christians, it's our job to participate in spreading this gospel to the world. If we're faithful to do our part, God's faithful too, and he'll do his part. But it all starts with this invitation. So in our main passage for today, one thing that I want to point out is just how it's kind of amazing to me that Christ gets such an immediate and profound response to his words, where he says, "Follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men." So this is in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. It says there that one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men. Christ just told him to follow me. This invitation seems like a pretty simple one. It's not a big, grand, flashy invitation from him. It's not some kind of promise to a special padded life where you have the good life. And it's definitely not some kind of neatly packaged sales pitch that would warrant this kind of response that we see from him. Jesus was, after all, the Son of God. But if we think about it for a minute and kind of put ourselves in the shoes of the guys that he's talking to, What if you were in Simon or Andrew's shoes there? Man comes up and just says, "Hey, come follow me. I'll teach you how to fish for men." What would your response be? I know that's a question that I ask myself. I would probably be like, "Who are you?" and get away from me, strange guy. But it's something to think about. Wouldn't there be questions that you had for him? Wouldn't there be a desire for maybe a little bit more information? The whole thing makes me think that there must have been something else going on here. And I think that the Gospel of John explains it a little bit better. It gives us a little bit more insight into a little bit more uh, a little bit more information about the circumstances surrounding this. So let's look in John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 35 and 36 and then 40 and 42. It says there, "The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, 'Look, there's the Lamb of God.' Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, 'We found the Messiah.'" Now, I think when we read this account of it, it makes it a little bit more clear that that the original disciples may have already had some idea or heard something about this Jesus. John the Baptist had already been going around telling people that that Jesus was the Lamb of God. And I think that most of the Jewish people in this time knew of the Lamb of God as being a reference to this sacrificial lamb or the Messiah that was coming. And not to mention, too, that if Galilee was anything like Grapeland, news travels fast in these small communities, right? So when Jesus showed up in front of Andrew and Simon Peter and said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men," they were ready to go. When John pointed out to Jesus and the disciples, "Look, the Lamb of God," they probably knew exactly what he was talking about. And when the Apostle Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So when you ask your neighbor to come to a special service at your church, we're kind of doing the same thing. We're extending that invitation. When any of these things happen and this invitation is extended, we extend the edge of this kingdom net that I was talking about. We're attempting to grow the kingdom of Christ when we do that. And I think that's an important thing for us to remember. As Christians, we're called to extend that invitation. The invitation is the gospel. Gospel means good news. Now let's think about that for a minute. The good news. How many of us are willing to invite somebody and share about the good news that we have to share about Christ? How often do we do that? I know when we get a new job, we're usually pretty gung-ho about sharing that good news. Or when we get a new truck, or maybe a new grandchild is born, we're always willing to share that good news. So are we as willing to share the good news of the gospel as we are those things in our life? The gospel is inviting by nature because good news is always worth sharing. And a few weeks ago, we talked about how this kingdom net, it gathers fish of every kind. This is a great reminder for us as we spread the kingdom net to others. If we're willing to share pictures of our kids or grandkids to strangers on airplane or to the whole world on social media platforms, why wouldn't we also be as willing to share the good news about Christ in our life? Is it because we think that we have to save it for the people that we think are ready or their hearts have already been prepared? Is it because we think that we're some kind of screening agents for the kingdom of God? Maybe we need to just be the guys who screen people out for God. I think if we look at the people that Christ called, we'll see they're not this perfectly polished group. Think about the kind of people that gathered together through Christ in the Gospels. Peter, he was an uneducated, mouthy fisherman. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, as was Matthew. And Mary, she was about to be stoned to death for her sins when she joined in with Christ. That's not even bringing into account all of the Old Testament people that God used in big ways. Look about Abraham and Sarah. They doubted God and tried to help him, just like I was talking about screening. They tried to help him. They said, "Well, we'll just help God help us have a kid." Didn't turn out so good for them. Or what about Samson? He was pretty hard-headed and arrogant, but God seemed to find a good use for him. Moses and David, not perfect by any means. Neither was Peter. He was impulsive, and he denied Christ. Rahab or Tamar or Saul or Paul. You know, the list goes on and on. The point is, if all of these people were pre-screened, if the people that brought the gospel to them had been pre-screening them and trying to make sure that they're ready for the gospel, how many of these people do you think would have made the final cut? Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 16 that he's building his church and that we learn elsewhere what his gathered group might look like. John's vision from Revelation, it's chapter 7, verse 9. Says that after this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people. and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They're clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And then in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, it says, I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you'll bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. He'll make us a light to the Gentiles. When we walk into a room, light walks in. Hope and truth should walk in with us. Grace and encouragement should walk in the room with us. And love, the love of Christ, should walk in the room with us. See, Christianity isn't just this observational faith where we sit back and watch things. We got to participate. We can't just go to church. We have to be the church. Jesus told us that we're the light of the world, and a city on a hill can't be hidden. So what are we going to bring into the room this week? As we leave out of here today and we go and share a meal with family or friends, or when we show up to work on Monday, when we get to school on Monday morning, and throughout the whole week, what are you bringing into that room with you? Are you bringing this hope? Are you bringing love? Are you bringing light with you? Because I tell you, there's a lot of people out there that you're going to encounter this week that have things going on in their life that the devil is using to attack them, that is bringing this darkness and this oppression in their life. And I think Christ is challenging all of us to bring his light and his love and his hope and his grace into the lives of those around us. Through Christ, we know the invitation is extended to all of us. There is no pre-screening. There is no value assessment. There's just the good news of the faith that saves. And what we see in response to Jesus in this first set of disciples that he called, it's a radical response to his invitation. It's an immediate response. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, the original disciples, they had probably already heard whispers about Jesus. I know John the Baptist was pretty busy preparing the way. And we know that the original timeline, after Jesus was baptized, he was whisked away into the desert for 40 days, and then he began his ministry. So let's look at the response of Andrew and Simon and James and John from this passage that we read in Mark chapter 1. It says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. That's Andrew and Simon, immediately left their nets and followed him. And then James and John left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired hands and followed him. They just dropped everything and went. To me, this highlights the urgency with which these disciples responded to this invitation that Jesus extended. They literally dropped everything and walked off their jobs. Simon and Andrew dropped their nets, and James and John left their dad in the boat with the hired help. To me, that's pretty incredible. It makes me wonder, could I imagine dropping everything and just walking out of my job to answer the call of Christ? It makes me think about some people that I know that have actually done that to make that a reality. For a lot of us, though, I think that this example or ideal should be an example of what it can look like to exercise this immediate faith and obedience. I think there's an overarching principle here that goes something like this. When Jesus calls, we should be willing to answer. And for the rest of us, I think it's our job to extend this invitation. And when we extend the invitation to people that we see in our lives, there's some people that are going to respond immediately. They're going to be those Andrews and Simons that say, ooh, and they see it, and they respond immediately. I think in some of these instances, it may take months of work of us constantly planting that seed and planting that seed and planting that seed. I think there's some that'll even take years of that seed being planted before they actually ever grab a hold of it and let God's word and God's love take root in their lives. I'm a prime example of that. I know there's people sitting in this room that spent years of their life trying to bring me that good news. I think, though, there's for some, too, that they'll never come around. Their response is between them and God. The invitation is something we're called, I might even say commanded, to do. This is something that we should be a part of. I think the Great Commission calls us out on that and says, hey, go and make disciples. So I want to encourage you all this morning to drop that net. Drop those kingdom nets. Step off the boat and start walking with Christ. And invite people to come along for the ride. I can tell you from my experience that it's been one of the most amazing and awesome and challenging experiences that I've ever been through in my life. Is the experience of salvation through Christ. And following Jesus, as a lot of us in here know, and as a lot of people have learned throughout history, it's not always going to be easy. Found a quote by one author. Her name is Miss Adele Calhoun. She said that my experience with following indicates that it can be even more difficult than leading. Following requires humility. It requires risk, attention, awareness, and guts. It means serving someone else's agenda and following his or her cues. Following requires that I let go of my own way and trail the leader. But everything in me resists trailing behind someone else, especially when I think I can make my own way or lead just as well. Following for any length of time tests both our character and our steadfastness. And I think it's true for us too with Christ. Laying down our own agenda, our own expectations, a lot of times that's tough for us to do. And it'll cost you everything to put that down and follow Christ. He says so himself. But what do you gain in return? We gain an eternity. We gain a forever family. We gain a divine love. We gain acceptance unlike anything else this world has to offer. We gain hope. We gain faith. We gain a family. So I encourage you all this morning to drop the nets, step out the boat, and answer this call. Extend this invitation to others and share the good news. Be that light that walks in the room. Bring that hope. Bring that peace in a world that is so chaotic these days. I think there's so much stuff that goes on that the devil uses to divide us as a Christian community. Be the one that brings people together. The world needs that. Our community needs that. If y'all would, let's pray together as I close.